When you think about that, you know, the Lord said, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me, and all these different things. And they said, Lord, when do we do that? He said, in so much that you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And sometimes we have a tendency that, you know, we get so wrapped up in all of our situations and all of our problems and everything that we tend to forget that there's a lot of people out there that don't have anything, you know. And, you know, that's a great thing to do. So I was going to get some stuff together, and I didn't get around to it. So I'm a bad one. Please forgive me, Lord. Please. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wasn't really sure what I would speak to you for today from here, but I was going to do Ezekiel chapter 28, and I think I'll go through it. I think I can get through it in the time we got here. But you know, I really feel like this Ezekiel is a great book. It's got a lot of great things in it. And if the Lord opens it up to you, you know, it's really talking about us, you know. A lot of times, all of these things in the scriptures were given for examples to us as to what the Lord would have us do and how they affect our lives. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer, and then I'll go ahead and get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way, Father. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. Help us to realize, Father, that we need to put others ahead of ourselves sometimes, and to be mindful of people that have needs and to be willing to fill those needs. We give you all praise and all glory for what you're going to do here, and I just ask you to pour yourself through me as I share this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28. It says here, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, and that's son of Adam, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the sea. Yet thou art a man, that's Adam, and not a God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, but there is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten the riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasuries. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou also increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and that's Adam again, no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it thus, the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation, that's son of Adam, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and the sardis, and the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tablets, and of thy paps was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now, you know, a lot of people like to take this scripture and they like to apply that scripture to Satan, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not talking about Satan. It's talking about us. It's talking about man. And a lot of times we, if we're not careful, we begin to revel in our wisdom and in our knowledge and our understanding. And we think, well, bless God, I got it all. I know it all and all that. And we really don't. I mean, we really don't. And we need to keep ourselves humble before the Lord. And you know, Tyrus here, he was talking to Tyrus. Tyrus was telling him, you know, I sit in the midst of the sea, and he says, and I have said, you know, that I have said I am a God, you know. Well, I got news for you. We preach the message of sonship here a lot, and we preach the message of that we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And we've talked about, you know, we are Elohim also, which is the translated as the word God. But you know, the thing about it is any of our relationship and who and what we are doesn't depend on us. It depends on Him, on what He did on Calvary. And when we come to realize that, then we have to keep ourselves humble to the extent that we realize that this thing is really all about God, and it's God in you and God in me. It's not about us above God or instead of God, but it's all about, you know, His presence in our life. And this next verse says, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, and that's literally the tambourine. You know what you do with a tambourine, don't you? You make a lot of noise. And if you're good with it, you make good noise. And if you're not, you make bad noise. and of thy pipes, and it says here, but that literally, that word means, literally it means the word bezel. And you know what a bezel is? You know, I have a couple rings on up here. But this ring, the bezel of this ring is the thing that holds the stone in. And usually in any kind of ring or any kind of jewelry or anything like that, that's an important part, but it's not the most important part. It's actually the least important part. Somebody doesn't walk up to you and say, oh gee, that's a really nice thing that's holding your diamond, you know. They don't say that. They say, oh, look at that beautiful diamond that woman's wearing. Isn't that beautiful? People come in on Margaret's ring sometime, you know. I bought her a ring a few years ago, and, you know, they've told her, I've had people say to me, when we would be out, they'd say, you must love her a lot, you know. Well, it's I didn't pay a tremendous amount, but I paid a decent amount of money for it. But, you know, it's not about the thing that's holding the ring, the diamond. It's about the diamond. And I got news for you. When he says here about, you know, when he says here about the pipes was prepared in the day that that was created. And he literally is talking about, you know, the thing that held all of those precious stones. God prepared you to do that. But yet, let's read the rest of this. And it says, Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. And thou was in the holy mountain of God, and has walked up and down in amidst the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. And we know who that's talking about. It's talking about the nature of Adam. He was perfect in the day that he was created, until iniquity was found in him. And it says, By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring thee down, bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee, and I shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes of the earth in the sight of all them that beheld thee, that they may know among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Well, we know that when Adam sinned in the garden, that he brought sin and death on the realm of mankind. But you know, the beautiful thing about it is he was the first Adam. And in Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it tells us about the second Adam, or the last Adam, and that was Jesus Christ. And we know that when it tells that he was the anointed cherubim that covereth, you know, in the Old Testament, you had the Ark of the Covenant, and you had a cherubim on each side of the Ark of the Covenant, and they had their wings outstretched over the Ark of the Covenant, the seat on the Ark of the Covenant, the lid. And God would appear on the Day of Atonement. God would appear over the Ark of the Covenant, over the mercy seat. And the high priest would take the altar of incense in there, and he would take the blood sacrifice, and he would sprinkle the blood on the seat, you know, and the sins of the nation were forgiven for 1 year. But the beautiful thing about it was, is when Jesus gave his life and poured out his blood, the sins of the world were forgiven forever, for all mankind, not for just 1 year. And, you know, I like that it says here that it says that Tyrus was a type of the anointed cherubim that covereth. And if he was one of the anointing cherubim that covereth, who was the other one? And if he was a type of Adam, who was the other one? The other one was Jesus Christ. And God appeared between those two natures. And you know, that Adamic nature that's in us, he's bringing that thing to a death. And he's going to appear between the two natures, the nature of Jesus Christ and the nature of the old Adam. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And you know, when we come to that realization, we can't get too puffed up. And sometimes we find ourselves getting too involved about things, possessing things and having things and getting more and getting more and getting more. Well, that's exactly what was happening with Tyrus here. He kept getting more and more, and after a while he began to get puffed up. And, well, bless God, I'm special. I've got all this, you know, I've got it. I'm special. I'm better than everybody else. You know, look at my beauty. Look at what I got. And I got news for you. We need to make sure that we don't get in that situation. You know, sometimes I've listened to preachers on television different times, and I'm not throwing rocks at preachers, but I'm just saying I've listened to them on television different times, and they'll carry on about the cars they got and the houses they got, the jet planes they got, and they got this and they got that and they got something else. And I'm going to tell you what, it almost makes you throw up, because you think, what in the world are you talking about? What are you doing? You know, you're falling right into the realm here of Tyrus, you know. And I got news for you. That isn't what God desires. That isn't what God, when he wants to bless you, he wants to bless you with his presence. You know, when he spoke to Abraham, he told Abraham, he appeared to him as El Shaddai. And El Shaddai was literally, it was translated as God Almighty. And it literally has the meaning of, part of Shaddai is a word, breasted one. He's like the large breasted one. He was the love nature of God. And when he appeared to Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, I am thy exceeding great reward. Not things, not money, not gold, not houses, not lands, not none of that stuff. That stuff's nice if God lets you get it. But don't get too wrapped up in all that stuff, because I'm telling you what, it can be taken away in a minute. And, you know, I heard Clarice Fluitt talk one time, and she was talking, and she was sharing her testimony, and she was talking about when God told her to get rid of everything they had at one point. And they were very wealthy. And, you know, she said they had airplanes, and they had Lexus, and they had all this kind of stuff. You know, they had a lot of stuff. They had nice oil paintings in their house and a big house and all that kind of stuff. And her husband was in real estate, apparently, and he made tons of money, you know. And she said that she went and told her husband, and he told her, "Are you sure you heard from God?" And she says, "Yeah, I did." And you know what? So I guess she prayed about it, and she asked the Lord, she says, "Well, how are we to get rid of this stuff?" And then the Lord told her to run an ad in the paper. It's free stuff, come and get it, you know. And and when they did that, she said the people from the church are the ones that all came and got it. So God blessed the people from the church. But the funny thing about it is she said, then she kind of got angry after a while. And you know, sometimes when God asks you to do something and it hurts, and he'll ask you to do some things, sometimes it'll hurt. I mean, he wants to see if you're willing. You know, what did he say to Abraham? He said, "Take thy son, thy only son." And he had another son, but not as far as God was concerned, he didn't. "Take thy son, thy only son, and take him up into the mountain and there sacrifice him unto me," you know. And you know, that had to be hard for Abraham, because Abraham was an old man. And he basically, God had told him, had changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And we was talking about it a little bit back there, but Abram meant high father, you know, like a exalted high father. And Abraham meant father of a multitude. And he only had two kids, one by the bond slave and one by Sarah. And the real inheritor was the one by Sarah. And what did God tell him? "Take the most important thing in your life and give it to me." And he went up into the mountain, and from what they say, you know, according to what the experts say, he actually went up into where Golgotha was. And, you know, he was taking his Isaac up into there. And when he's taking Isaac up into there, you know, Isaac was carrying the wood for the sacrifice. Now, a lot of people like to think that Isaac was a little boy, and I don't think he was. I think Isaac was a grown man. And you don't put a big pile of wood on a little boy. You put a big pile of wood on a man. And he took Isaac up into the mountain, and Isaac said to him, he said, "We've got the wood, we've got the fire," says, "Where's the sacrifice?" And what did he say? "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And you know, he took Isaac and tied him up. Now think about this. If he's a man and Abraham was an old man, and what did that mean about Isaac? That meant Isaac was in submission to his father. He let an old man tie a young man up and lay him down on the altar and take a knife and was going to kill him. And I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I'd have been a little nervous about that, with Dad standing over me with a knife, you know. But then the angel of the Lord spoke and said, "Stay your hand." And there was a ram or whatever caught in the thicket, and that was the natural provision. But we know what he was really talking about. God will provide himself. And they could have put in there "as a lamb," because we know Jesus was the Lamb of God. But you know, because Abraham was obedient and did what God said, he's considered to be the father of faith for us. And I got news for you. Sometimes as we go on in the Lord, don't be surprised if he asks you to do some things sometimes that blows your socks off. Because once in a while, it's going to happen. He might, you know, I have a friend that has a lot of money. And he heard that tape, and he said to me, he says, "You know," he says, "when I heard that scared me to death about you know, giving everything." And you know, that story that she told, she went out into the woods, and they stayed in a cabin. And when she was out in the woods and they stayed in that cabin, they didn't have any houses or anything left. They got rid of everything, you know. And on top of that, her husband got sick, couldn't work or do anything. So you think sometimes God don't allow you to get in a position where you're really in the fire. Well, she was in the fire. And she told the story about how when she'd come outside and she'd look at the trees, she said it would be like the trees were just saying, ah, you fool, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, and sometimes you feel like that when God puts you in a position, you know, because he'll tell you to do some things sometimes that you think, oh my God, you really want me to do that? You know. And I'm not saying this, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this in any way of a brag or anything like that, but I had the Lord one time tell me to give half of my bank account away. And I gave it away. I didn't have a whole lot, but I gave it away. But you know, when you ain't got a whole lot and you give it away, guess what you got then? Almost nothing, you know. But you know, God will do that sometimes. But I'm just saying, if we think we're going to go on into the fullness of what God's going to do with us, sometimes it takes a sacrifice. And if you aren't willing to sacrifice, he'll put you in positions where he'll let you know if you're willing to sacrifice or not. And you know, a lot of times we could be a big help to someone, and God will lay it on our heart to help someone. And you know what? If we're not obedient, then, you know, we're going to have to account to him for that somewhere down the line. But anyway, the funny thing about it was, it's even that story she told, she said she didn't take a bath or didn't do anything and wore this old robe, and it got all crusty from food and everything, and she looked horrible, wasn't fixing herself up. She was mad at God. And I'm sure God was in the heavenly realms laughing his heart out, you know, because it don't do no good to get mad at God, because you don't win when you get mad at God. He's the only one that ever wins, you know. But even in that situation, God allowed her one time to go and deal with this man that lived down the lane from them, wherever they were staying. And he was over there making all kind of noise and stuff. And I guess he had a gun, and he was shooting it and stuff. And she said she went over there and took that gun away from him, told him, now you get down on your knees and give your life to the Lord, basically. And said he did. She said he did. But you know, God sometimes he puts you in some funny situations. He really does. And you know, the thing about it is then she said when they were laying in the bed one night, she said she was laying there and Jesus spoke to her and said, will you marry me? And you know what? When God asks you to marry him, the answer should be yes. And you know what happens with a woman when she marries a man? In the natural, and that's, I'm talking about the church here, really. You know what happens? She gives up her name. She gives up her rights. And she takes her husband's name and her husband's rights, you know. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I used to have people, when I first started in the church, they'd come in sometimes after they met me, and then Margaret started coming a little bit later. And they would call her Sister Oscar because they didn't know who she was. And you remember that, Margaret? She's shaking her head. Yeah, she remembers. They'd call her Sister Oscar. Well, let me tell you what. I learned a long time ago that me and her had to be one, and we were one, and we still are one. And when our kids were growing up, you know, when Mom spoke, it was Dad speaking. When Dad spoke, it was Mom speaking. We didn't fight with each other over stuff like that. We respected the authority. I respected her authority, and she respected mine. And the way for my kids to get in the biggest trouble was to disrespect their mom in any way. I wouldn't put up with it for a minute. And you know, they never did. I wouldn't let them disrespect me anyway, so it didn't make no difference. but you know what? I'm just telling you all this because I'm telling you, we're going to enter into some times here, folks, where I believe God is wanting to do some wonderful things. He's wanting to take us back into that relationship we were talking about back in Sunday school this morning. I was telling them about some hidden things in the scripture that were in there. And he's wanting to take us into some, seems like I'm cutting out, I think, up here, sounds like.
You want to turn up this mic here? Anyway, he's wanting to do some wonderful things with us, but it's going to take some sacrifice sometime. It's going to take us get willing to be obedient, even to do things that you don't want to do in the natural. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to go all the way with him and you want to enter into that relationship of full sonship in him and helping set creation free, you're going to have to be willing to get obedient and do whatever God tells you. And sometimes it's going to put you in a very uncomfortable position at times. You know, I'm sure Abraham, when he took Isaac up into the mountain, I'm sure he wasn't singing and carrying on and thinking, oh, bless God, I'm going to go up here and kill my son, you know. He was probably mourning inside and thinking, Lord, what are you doing? Why am I doing this? But I'm going to tell you what, he believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. And because he did believe God, he's considered to be the father of faith. And I tell you, we're going to have to move into places at times where God's going to put us in some awkward situations. He's going to ask you to do some things that you ain't going to want to do at times. He's going to ask you to come or to go or to give or whatever it is. And, you know, Lord told me this a long time ago, and I know Clyde's quoted me on this a lot of times, whatever God puts in your hand, hold it loosely. Hold it loosely. Because he'll keep it in your hand, or he'll take it out of your hand. And if he takes it out of your hand, you're way better off if you're holding it loose. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll be devastating if you're trying to really hang on to it too much. But I don't know why I'm telling you all this today. I just felt like this is what the Lord was telling me to tell you. But I want you to know that when it was talking about Tyrus here, Tyrus let getting things and having things be way too important in his life. And you know, he was in a special position, and Tyrus was a type of Adam. He was in a special position. And I'm going to read that first part to you again, and then I'm going to close with that because we didn't have a lot of time today. It says, the word of the Lord again came to me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and that's in italics, where it says, I am, and as a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the sea, yet thou art Adam, and not a God, and though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, and there is no secret that can be hid from thee. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God gives you the ability to accumulate things or to do a lot of things, but realize where that ability comes from. Realize who is the master of all of that. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you hold on too tight, you're going to find out that if he decides to take it away, it'll come away in a hard way, not an easy way. But I will tell you this. I can tell you this, the time that the Lord had me do what I just told you before, I've never wanted for anything. I've never been short of anything. I have an excellent, super excellent credit rating, and I always have, and stuff. And it's because, I believe, because God's blessed me, you know, and he's always blessed me financially. I've always been able to make it, and I'm not rich, and I'm not poor, but I'm rich in him, and that's what really matters. But I'm going to tell you what, as we move on in the midst of things, and as God moves you into a lot of the deeper truths, come to realize, because I'm going to tell you what, when I watch the ministers sometimes on television, I think, what in the world are you guys doing? What are you doing? You know, 5 jet planes, stable full of cars, houses and lands that you have no need of, not really, you know. I tell you what, we all are way blessed, especially in this country. We have way more than what we need or than what we could be much greater blessing to everyone around us if we get obedient and do what God tells us to do. Well, anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. And I know it might be a little heavy, but I tell you what, one thing I will say about that story with Clarice, it was a beautiful story because God restored them and gave them more than they had before. And you can't outgive God. No matter what he calls you to do, what he wants you to do, he is able to supply abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And he will meet your needs no matter what they are. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. I love when Lily came that time and she said that in their mission house over in Africa, and she was a good example of someone who gave everything away and went to Africa because she felt like God told her to go. She didn't even know where she was going in Africa. And when she went over there, you know, God began to bless her. He began to show her. She got a mission house built up, and she took in missionaries and took people in and fed people and everything else. And I remember her telling the story here just a few years back where she basically said they had just a couple cans of food, I think, left in their pantry. And somebody came by that was hungry that didn't have no food. And guess what? She gave them the food. She said the next day out of the blue, somebody showed up with a bunch of groceries, filled the pantry. That's the way God is, folks. That's what he is. But I tell you what, when he asks you to give something or to do something, you need to be obedient and do it. Because otherwise you'll miss the blessings of God and you'll miss seeing him move miraculously. And he will move miraculously if you'll just trust him in situations. But if you have the ability to help someone and they need help, help them. Don't stand back and say, well, maybe somebody else will do it. Yeah, maybe somebody. If you can do it, do it if God's laying it on your heart. So anyway, that's all I had to say to you today. It's all I had to share with you. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that we can never outgive you. And just like you gave that little example of Abraham, how you told Abraham to take your son, your only son, and take him up into the mount and there sacrifice him. And you had, in type and shadow, you had him take him right up into the place where they crucified Jesus because you gave the ultimate son for us. And he poured out his life that a ransom for all of mankind. And I thank you for what you've done for us. And I ask you, Father, to help us be obedient and begin to even pour out our lives more and more for people as we see them in need or whatever you have us do. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Go and have a wonderful day.